Come, Holy Ghost, our souls inspire, enlighten with celestial fire. Amen. Please be seated. 50 days ago, we filled this parking lot on Easter morning to proclaim the great mystery at the heart of all things. Alleluia! Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed. We gather today, 50 days later, for the last great feast of that Easter season. And what a day it is. A little hot, but a great joy to be together. All those languages we just heard, this incredible, gorgeous music we just heard, the food truck, games for the kids, Mr. Bungle's bubbles. It really is a great day, a joyful day. Maybe a little chaotic, maybe the sound system's acting up a little bit, but certainly a day filled with the Spirit. That seems just right, I think. You see, that first Pentecost in Jerusalem had a lot going on, too. Even before the Holy Spirit descended like tongues of fire on the disciples, Pentecost was a great festival day. Jews from all over the world would have flocked to Jerusalem to celebrate Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, 50 days after Passover. They would have come from every corner of the globe, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and all the rest. Pilgrims all speaking their own languages, but coming to praise the one God. It would have been a busy, joyful, chaotic, hot day, not unlike this one. The disciples, we're told, were all together in one place. Tradition has it that that one place was the upper room, where they had been so often before. It's, of course, that room where they had shared the Last Supper together, where they had fled after the death of their friend, and where they had encountered the risen Christ for the first time. It was the room where they went after Jesus' ascension to the Father, 40 days after Easter, to wait and to watch and to pray for the promised coming of the Spirit. And 10 days later, they're still there, waiting, watching, praying. It's not surprising that they go there, of course. In the midst of so much swirl, so much change, so much uncertainty, they go to a familiar place, a safe place, a place where they'd met God before, hoping, trusting that they would meet God there again. So they gather just as we do this day in a safe and familiar place. And God does indeed show up. There comes a sound like the rush of a violent wind. Divided tongues as of fire descend upon them, appear among them, and a tongue rests on the head of each of them, filling them with the promised Holy Spirit. And then they're sent out into the streets and the parking lots of Jerusalem, speaking languages they did not know, so that all who had gathered in that great city might hear the good news of God for themselves. Pentecost is sometimes called the birthday of the church, for it's on this day that the huddled disciples receive power from on high to become apostles, which literally means sent ones who will return to the ordinary places of their lives to proclaim the extraordinary love of God. They receive power from on high to go from relying on one particular place, that upper room that they think of as their church, to knowing that they are the church wherever they are. They receive power from on high to become the movement that God intended them to be, a movement that would turn the known world upside down, tearing down every dividing wall, knitting together Jew and Greek, male and female, slave and free into one new family, gathered around one Lord, Jesus Christ, who by his death has destroyed death and who is alive forever among us, making all things new. On their own, those huddled, fearful disciples might have been able to make themselves into a movement, maybe, if they managed ever to leave the upper room, but they weren't on their own.
the risen and ascended Jesus did not leave them or us comfortless. He sent his Holy Spirit to sweep them up and to gather them and to carry them along and to plant in their hearts a dream for what this world might yet be. He sent his Holy Spirit to give them eyes to see and ears to hear and wills to follow. Jesus sent them his Holy Spirit to give them everything they needed to be the church and to live and to love like him. They could have said no. They could have stayed in that upper room. But because they said yes, the world has never been the same. Because they said yes, the world was turned upside down. Because they said yes, we're sitting here in Darien, Connecticut on a May morning, knowing, enjoying, sharing the love of Jesus. One of the joys of this day, among many, is that we get to reaffirm and renew our yes. Alongside Hunter, who makes his yes today in the sacrament of baptism, and our amazing confirmands who are preparing to reaffirm their baptismal promises in the sacrament of confirmation. In doing so, we connect ourselves to the living Christ, to that body of Christ that is alive, risen, at work in the world, to that Spirit-led movement of people who seek to follow Jesus and to share his love in all they do. And as we add our yes, that same Holy Spirit descends upon us just as it filled those first disciples, filling us with wonder and awe at the extraordinary love God has for us, sending us out into the world to share that love in all that we do. My friends, let's pray for a fresh outpouring of that Spirit. Let's make ourselves available to God and be open to how God intends to use us to bless this world in Christ's name. Let's believe and trust that the Spirit is giving us everything we need to do his will. But most of all, let's fill this parking lot. Let's fill this church. Let's fill this town. Let's fill this world with joyful thanks and praise. For as Doris Akers famously said in her 1962 gospel classic, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know it's the Spirit of the Lord. In the name of our risen and ascended Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.